is the Rich Eisen Show.
Oop, no clip. Oop, thought we had a clip. Nope.
Live from the Rich Eisen Show studio in Los Angeles.
Bruce Arians here on the Rich Eisen Show. Calling your team a very dumb football team. Do you, when those words leave your mouth, do you want to grab them back?
No, I mean, just telling the truth.
Earlier on the show, 49ers wide receiver Deebo Samuel, Fox Sports analyst Joel Klatt. Coming up, Washington football team head coach Ron Rivera, plus actor and comedian Bill Burr. And now, it's Rich Eisen.
Hour number three of the Rich Eisen Show is on the air. 844-204-RICH is the number to dial. Joel Klatt of Fox Sports helped us preview Michigan-Ohio State, which he's calling along with Gus Johnson on Saturday. And my he's going to have my heart and my soul in the palm of his hands, in his headset. That's the way it's going to go on Saturday. We had Deebo Samuel of the surging San Francisco 49ers on in hour number one. Bill Burr is going to be calling us shortly, and we're going to have a great chat with one of the funniest guys out there. But joining us right here on the phone line is somebody who's going to have a pretty big Monday Night Football game coming up. His team has beaten the Bucs and the Carolina Panthers in back-to-back weeks. The Washington football team is on a roll. And joining us on the Mercedes-Benz Van phone line is one of our favorites, the HC of the WFT, Ron Rivera, here on the Rich Eisen Show. How you doing, Coach?
I'm doing great, Rich. How are you?
I'm doing fine. There's so many different ways to start with you. First things first is, how's your health? How's everything going?
It's good. It's been going very well. You know, I don't know if you know, but I celebrated my 1 year ringing the bell, and I also had my 1 year biopsy that was a negative, so that's all good news so far.
That is amazing. That is so great. That is terrific, and glad to hear that. What a great Thanksgiving week for you then, huh? For you and your family?
It really is, and I just want to share this with you very quickly. You know, my players took a collection in honor of that for me, and they wanted to donate $26,059 to the Red Frog Proton Therapy Center at St. Jude's on behalf of the Run Rich Run program.
That is so amazing. Oh, my gosh. Thank you very much. And so the team got together. So explain what the Red Frog Events Proton Therapy Center is at St. Jude.
Well, what it is proton therapy is a very specific and precise treatment that is real important to children, because, you know, when you get photon therapy for radiation treatment, it's a very broad beam and it causes some collateral damage. Whereas if you get proton therapy, it's a very direct beam that limits the amount of collateral damage, which is very important for children's health. And so it's something that's at St. Jude's, and it benefits the children greatly when they have to go through radiation treatment.
So generous, man. And it must feel so great to have a team that's like, you know what, let's celebrate our coach's 1 year being cancer-free. Let's raise some money for kids. That is beautiful. Yeah, that's beautiful.
It was really cool, Rich.
That is beautiful. And so who what's with the 59? Is it somebody? What's with the 59?
That just happened to be happenstance from what I understand. But if not, I really do appreciate the gesture that they made.
I love it. I love it. Well done. Ron Rivera here on the Rich Eisen Show. How weird was it for you to go back into Carolina with another team, Coach?
It was very weird. In fact, you know, I got a little mixed up, and if it wasn't for my chief of staff telling me I'm headed to the wrong bench, I would have stood there for a second.
Come on. Did you really do that?
I did. When I first came out for warm-ups, you know, I always, you know, kind of listed lazily to the right, and that's where I was headed. And, you know, thank goodness she came up with the coach, you're headed to the wrong bench.
Could it have been that you also saw Cam in a Panthers uniform that also confused you? Could it be that too?
That did confuse me a little bit, to be honest with you. I saw the big guy coming out. So, and I had a little flashback to the good old days.
No, and again, I know that this is another team, but you did have to sense, and you knew it had to be coming, what energy he sends through that building and that town.
Oh, my God, it was unbelievable. It really was. It was truly energetic, and you could see it also inspiring his teammates. I mean, you know, and I've told some people, hey, you guys got to be aware now. This dude, he learns a little bit more and gets more comfortable with what they're doing. They got a chance because I love the defense. I love their playmakers. They've got some good football players.
Absolutely. And then him spiking the ball in the middle of the field, too. I know you don't want that. That was at your expense, but that was a long time coming for him, I imagine.
It was. And you know, the beautiful thing about what he does, more so than anything else, is he really does play with a lot of energy.
Ron Rivera here on the Rich Eisen Show. Let's talk about your team. What's happened over the last 2 weeks, do you think, for
well,
you?
Well, I think it was actually, it began, I think, a few weeks prior to that. I really do. I thought our guys played well against Green Bay. I thought they played well against Tampa Bay. We had our moments. We didn't complete the game, so we didn't finish with an opportunity to win. But going into the bye, I really liked our attitude, the way we went into it. As coaches, we got an opportunity to really study and do a lot of self-scouting. And we came back and we basically told the guys, hey, these are what we're seeing. These are things that we got to work on. These are things that we got to get better at. Let's go out and do that. And we had a really good week of preparation going into Tampa Bay. And we felt really confident. They played with confidence. They played fast. And we were I think, had a good week last week where we were building off of that success.
So has Heinicke, has a light gone on a little bit more with him? I know you were constantly pounding him about protecting the football and yeah. not making that 90-point play that he thought he could try and make,
yep.
right? So
yep.
is that part of this equation too?
I think it is because, you know, one of the things that we talked about going into the year was that, you know, we needed a quarterback that could manage the offense, control the pace and tempo, but had the ability to make plays when we needed him. And that's what we're getting from Taylor. I mean, he's been very smart, very judicious with handling the ball. I mean, you know, like I said, a few weeks back, we were great between the 20s, but we struggled in the red zone. We go into the bye, we get a few players back. You know, we got a couple of our wide receivers back that had gotten hurt and that we had missed for a few weeks. Mm-hmm. We got a couple of our offensive linemen back. And you could see with the way they were playing that there was some confidence. And Taylor's playing with confidence right now because, again, let's don't forget, he's only had 11 starts in the NFL.
Right. So what's the goal here? Is the division still in sight, you think, here?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, I'm going to look at it that way because if we put ourselves in position and we're fortunate enough to get through this part of November and get to the second week of December in the right situation, set of circumstances, the division, why not? We play five straight divisional games, and there's, you know, and I'm one of those who believe in that saying that if you're going to win the division, you've got to control the division. Mm-hmm. So we'll see what happens. But we're going to take them one at a time. We got a big Monday night showdown coming up with Seattle, and we're pretty excited about the opportunity to just get back out in the football field and play again.
You know they're going to be desperate, too. I mean, Pete Carroll, yeah. I don't know if you saw Pete left his press conference at one point because yeah. – You know, and he said that he thought that the time was up, and he went back and he finished the press conference. But you could see he's four games under 500 for only the second time in the middle of a season for the first time in his career, yeah. You know. So you know this is it for them in many ways.
But you know, I mean, he's a veteran coach, and he knows how to handle it. And he'll bounce back, and he'll get his guys focused. And, you know, that's what we got to be ready for. We got to be ready for a football team that's got an opportunity just like we do, you know, if they handle their business. So that's why I really believe this is going to be a good game.
Yeah, and your challenge with Russ is what, Coach?
Oh, absolutely, absolutely. The dude's one of the elite quarterbacks in this league.
What's the challenge? Like, what do you got to do here? Like,
First of all, you got to contain him, keep him inside the pocket, and then get him off his mark. But you can't let him get outside of that. I mean, if he gets off his mark, it's got to be going backwards. He can't be going sideways and stepping up. Because, you know, he's got great vision. He knows where his guys are. His guys know when certain situations happen where they need to be, and he'll find them. So we've got to be able to contain it. They got a good running game. We've got to be able to keep that running game in check as well. So this game will challenge us for sure.
A few more minutes left here with Ron Rivera, the head coach of the Washington football team. You're joining me just about 20 minutes after news breaking out of New York City that the Giants have – let Jason Garrett go as the offensive coordinator. Again, I know that's not your team. I know it's a team in division. I'm sure you know Jason Garrett very well.
Yes.
Well, what does an HC of one team think when the other team bounces an OC? Like, what goes through your head?
When coaches get let go, you know, the first thought is, okay, they're trying to find, you know, a spark. They're trying to do something different and create a little momentum going somewhere. And that's probably what they're trying to do. And again, it's hard to say because – you know, there's so many things going on, but, you know, that's kind of the way I always look at it when something like that happens.
Right. I mean, but how much a scheme, I guess, can change, right? I mean, how much can you change in the middle of a season? I don't mean to turn you into an analyst here,
you're
an expert on the subject matter, I imagine. So how much?
Yeah, but what will happen is you'll have a guy who has a different way of calling it, you know, a different way of seeing it, mm-hmm. and game planning might be different, and that's probably the biggest thing.
Okay, and another thing is, what are you making of the emphasis on the taunting rule? You being a head coach in this league, I think we kind of hit it on it earlier this year, and I totally understand about wanting to get the screaming at one player, yeah. standing over another player out of the game, yeah. but Sean Payton, who is on the competition committee, says it's now being over officiated. Where do you stand on it right now,
yeah,
Coach?
I don't disagree with Sean, because, you know, again, the point of emphasis being is that we don't want it to be one of those things where there's some backlash. And I think at that point there has to be some judgment as far as the referees are concerned. I know we're putting a little something extra on them again, but, you know, you really got to be smart about it. We have to be careful, because we hate to see it really cost an opportunity, especially with the playoffs now right around the corner, or even during the playoffs.
No,
so we've got to make sure the referees have a true definition of what they really are looking for.
So what do you think? Do you think what did you think a couple weeks ago with the Cassius Marsh call, where he was staring at a bench and he got 15 for something like
see,
that?
See, that's tough. I mean, he could have turned around, stared at his bench, and did what he did. You know what I'm saying? I mean, and that's the whole point, because, you know, we had a situation, you know, in Denver where a guy raised the ball after, you know, pretty much an interception in the fourth quarter that was really close to sealing the deal. You know, it was right in front of our bench, and you got to be careful. Somebody might retaliate. That to me is what you're trying to prevent. Stuff. If you want to celebrate with your teammates, go to your bench, go to the end zones.
Right.
Just, you know, be aware and to a degree, be humble and respectful to your opponent.
Well, I mean, and technically, though, Coach, what Cam did, running to the center of his field and spiking the ball in the middle, I totally understood what he was doing. I totally understood what he was doing, right? He's like, he's back. He's like making his mark, right? And obviously, he didn't do it in your direction. He did it on his own logo. If he was on your field and he did it on your logo, that might be something that's provocative, a la T.O. back in the day with the star. But I was legitimately concerned that he was going to get flagged for it. And I'm like, man, what a waste of my viewing experience that feeling is. And I kind of blame the situation.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
I don't disagree with you. I really don't. I mean, again, you know, I'm on the competition committee, and that's one of the things that we discussed.
Okay.
We wanted to prevent were the retaliatory fights. That's what we're really trying to say, you know, getting in that guy's face, going to their bench, stepping towards that guy, stepping over a guy, you know, doing things like that. That's what we're really looking for. You know, if a guy gets up and he yells and he drops the ball and it just happens to be right in front of a guy, you know, without the intent of being it on the, you know, doing it to that guy. Yeah, I get that. And I appreciate that. As a former player, I appreciate the excitement and exuberance. But this is one of the things we tell our guys, and we've got flagged twice this year, but we've told our guys, don't do something that's going to make the referee think. Okay? Don't put it on them. Don't give them an opportunity. And we've done it twice, so I struggle with that. But, you know, again, we've told the guys not to.
So when you go back in next March, do you think there's going to be another conversation here?
I believe there will be, and there should be, because, again, if we're going to have the rule, we've got to make sure we get the rule right, okay? And if we can't get it right, then maybe we don't need to have the rule.
Okay, before I let you go, do you know right now, as you and I are talking, Ron Rivera, what your football team is going to be called in 2022? Do you know that right now?
I have an idea. I know that there were three finalists, and
three.
I know we're getting ready to order everything, and, you know, when they get ready to do all that, we'll know for sure.
Well, when they make an order, I mean, that thing's locked, right?
Oh yeah, yeah. Once it's all set in stone, and you know they've called up the manufacturers and said, okay, hey, we need to get these, then we'll know for sure.
Say yeah, right. So the Washington Isons, we got that? Yes? No? You can.
I'm pulling for the Golden Retrievers.
Oh, now that would be the winner. That would be the winner.
I like that one.
You could say, go get him, you know, go get the ball. Yeah. That's for sure. Okay. All right. But you do know it's down to three. And do you know when the order is going to be placed? You got something for me?
Very shortly. I know it's coming. I really do.
Okay. All right, Ron. I'm just trying to get something.
All right, Rich.
Take care of yourself. And by the way, so generous. I've never in my run had money in the till before the end of the year, the end of the year like this for the next year's run. I've never had that. So you've literally given me a head start, and I can't thank you enough. You're so good.
That was awesome. It was awesome of our players, and again, it's just to a very worthy cause. I mean, St. Jude's, for what they do for children and families, is an amazing thing.
Well, and again, just the fact that you think of looping me in when, you know, clearly your name, it says in honor of Coach Rivera and the memo of the check that we're seeing right here. Thank you. You're very kind to include and loop me into this. Thank you very much.
Appreciate you, Rich. Thank you.
Right back at you. That's Ron Rivera, Riverboat Ron, HC. On Twitter. 844-204-RICH, number to dial. Let's take a break. Bill Burr, when we come back right here on The Rich Eisen Show, it'll be a lot of fun chatting with Bill. F is for Families, back on Netflix, and he's back on the show in a moment.
America starts the day with America in the Morning.
First of three pushes of storminess.
Hi, I'm John Trout, your host for the latest news, politics, entertainment, business, and weather.
A speech with political overtones.
Our staff of correspondents provide a fast-paced look at the world with specialized reports from where news happens.
The judge's decision was based on finding there is a likelihood.
So far, the central bank appears to be threading that.
Concise, accurate, and fresh each day.
America in the Morning, the podcast, available wherever you listen.
Our house is a mess. Come on in. I'm Amber Wallen, internet comedian and host of your new favorite podcast, Fly on the Wallen.
Okay, that's pretty presumptuous to assume that this is going to be their favorite podcast, by the way.
Anyway, that wasp that you just heard interrupt me is my husband.
And co-host, Benjamin Wallen.
Listen in as we discuss relationships and keeping our sweet baby kid alive.
Fly on the Wallen, wherever you listen.
This is The Rich Eisen Show.
Here on The Rich Eisen Show, 844-204-RICH, number to dial. Nathan in Los Angeles will take your call as Bill Burr is set to call us in a moment. What's up, Nathan?
Well, Rich, I don't talk about it much, but as you think, I think you know, I am a Giant fan.
Yes.
But I don't talk about it because I, for all the reasons you just described, there's not much to talk about. I have one question or thought based on this, and it's one of many thousands, hundreds of things that needs to be fixed there. But I look at this coming April, and I have no interest in drafting a quarterback. So my question is, are there any of the veterans out there that you think we could get, should get, would be successful if we did get, and then could we put enough around one of them next year?
Well, the answer, the rumor is that Russell Wilson wants to come to New York. Like, that's what he wants to do. That, you know, he
that's
does.
That's a very pie in the sky thing, and I would love it.
I don't know about that.
And I would.
I don't know about that.
I don't know.
Here's how the dots get connected, Nathan, that the Giants currently have not one but two draft choices in the top, what, six or seven right now, I think?
Yeah.
So those.
Awesome.
The Seattle could rebuild pretty damn fast, you know, and. So right now the Giants have the fifth overall selection and the sixth, right? So
seven.
Yeah.
Pardon me. Yeah. No, they got the Giants. They got their own, and they got the Bears.
Yeah.
So that's it right now, and so they got two of them, and that's not bad because the Seahawks, their choice currently seventh overall, belongs to the Jets and Jamal Adams. Thanks for the call, Nathan. So that's the answer. Giants have first-round draft choices to cough up. Now, they got to build the line. They got to do that. But if you can get right now, and Seattle can get Rich real fast and get first-round draft choices back real fast for Russell Wilson, and you could maybe even, heaven forbid, hold on to one of them, trade one of them now and give up future ones, and Seattle's willing to do that because Russ wants out, that's where the Giants fans are connecting the dots, that Russ wants to move to New York City. You know, he's not twitching in that direction right now. He is all in, talking about how much he loves the Hawks and loves the team, and he's trying to turn it around. Which he's, of course he is. That's DK right there. That's Tyler Lockett right there, and let's go. They should be winning more. They got a big Monday night. That's part of the reason why that's a big Monday night game against the Washington football team. 844-204-RICH is the number to dial. This is going to be a great conversation, not only because he's just engaging. He's engaging as all get out. But his Patriots are atop the AFC East, and there's always a fun conversation when the creator and star of Netflix's F is for Family joins the show. The fifth and final season of F is for Family will be available on Thanksgiving Day on Netflix. Joining us right here is a man who's also getting set to go on his arena and amphitheater tour, Bill Burr, slight return. That's in parentheses. Here on the Mercedes-Benz Van phone line is Bill Burr. How you doing, Bill?
What's going on, Rich?
Oh, I'm just excited for you. That's what I'm excited for. Just you.
All right. You know what? I was listening to that conversation about Russell Wilson going.
Yeah.
I always loved that whole thing. You're going to get two first-round draft picks, and everybody gets, oh, boy, like that's a lock. If you go through all the number one draft picks throughout history, most of them stink. So you're going to give up a proven guy to take a shot at these other guys. And if you've noticed, Bill Belichick always traded away his first-round draft picks and got more in the second round. The guy won 6 Super Bowls doing that. So I think number one draft picks are overrated unless you need a quarterback or some superstar position. There's a guaranteed guy. And even then, that's usually the first 3 picks. But if they give you like a 12th, a number 12, you know, I mean, you're talking like that's like Tony Eason number. No offense.
Well, spoken like a man whose sporting life got changed by a 199th overall draft selection. That's what it sounds like to me, Bill.
Yeah.
That's what that takes.
Well, yeah,
sounds
I mean,
like
I kind of seen the best since Paul Brown to do it, and that's the way he's been doing it. So I think that would be a steal for the Giants if they could only give him 2 first round picks.
Well, it would be more than that.
That
would be
proven guy.
That would be open. That would be the opener. That would be the start of it. But I understand what you're saying.
That would be the appetizer.
Yes, it would definitely be the mozzarella sticks of that deal.
Yes.
There's no question about
exactly.
that.
Okay.
Or unless
all right. I didn't realize there was an entree.
No,
by the way,
yes.
In this country, people got to stop calling the first dish an entree. No, the main course an entree. Sorry.
Why is that?
Well, entree in French means the beginning.
That's
true. Entree is the beginning.
Yes.
We screwed that up. So we go, what do you want for your entree? And it's like, I'll have a steak. It's like, yeah, no.
So are you standing for the French? Is that what that is for? You or
I love
just
the
a little?
French. If you've ever been to Paris, they've earned their arrogance. All right. And we always show up in our basketball shorts. Going for my entree, I'll have the duck. And they just look at us like we're, you know, you got to make an effort. You know what I mean? Just if you just make an effort, they're really cool people.
Yeah, they just want you to actually.
I love the entire Mediterranean. Palestinians, Israelis, that doesn't make sense. It's like at Lincoln, Alabama and Auburn. But I like them both all the way through Spain.
But I don't think France is. Is France is, I guess it's a little sliver on the Mediterranean. Yeah, that's right. Look at you, Bill. You know you're.
We need a little sliver.
It's
the
a little
French
sliver.
Riviera.
That's right. It's right
Isn't
there.
Isn't that where you put your fancy TV star toast during the wintertime? I can see you on a yacht putting sunscreen on top of your head.
Yeah,
come on.
Drinking the Domaine Hot or whatever the heck they're serving there. That's what I'm doing. That's it.
That's
Bill,
right.
Bill Burr here.
You know what? Hey, you earned it. And
thank
you're
you,
living
Bill.
Your best
like
life.
The French.
Like all these white chicks.
I've earned.
Like all these white chicks. They're all living their best life. If you don't believe it, you can read their yoga pants. It says it right on the side.
Ladies and gentlemen, Bill Burr here on the Rich Eisen Show. Okay, so what do you think of your Patriots, Bill? What do you think?
I am ridiculous. This is feeling very, it's beginning to look a lot like 2001. Sorry, it's the holidays. I like the holidays.
I like it too, yes.
Where we got this, you know, starting to look like really good defense, and then we got this rookie quarterback. Like, who is this guy? This guy's doing – he's not messing up. If there's nothing there, he doesn't take a sack. He throws it out of bounds. He keeps getting better week after week. And the only thing that scares me is kind of what you knew was going to happen. At some point, KC was going to right the ship. Everybody was just saying they were a bad football team, blah, 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 blah. And all of a sudden, it's not a good-looking record, but they are in first place. And they've been to the last 2 Super Bowls in the AFC. So the big thing for me is explain to me what is happening in Buffalo. Because I was taking them every week, double-digit favorites, and they were covering. And then they just started to nosedive. They lose to Jacksonville. And then Carson Wentz lights them up in their own building.
That's a great question.
What's going on in Buffalo?
That's a great question. I do not know. And they appear to be ready to be plucked, to use, the phrase of the holiday. And here come the Patriots just in time. Like, you know, the time to get New England was first 6 weeks of the season. That's when you wanted them. Right now, I don't think anybody wants a piece of them. I do not know. We're going to see them on Thanksgiving night against the Saints. They should win that game, as that's the sort of a hedging way that we talk in the NFL media world, is they should. Thus, I can't be held responsible if they lose.
And that's only because Jameis Winston's out, right?
Well, pretty much. Trevor Siemian's not scaring the Bills, I'll tell you that. You know, and so...
I'll tell you, he scares me.
Well, here's a deal. Here's a deal. You're right. They do look like 2001, and where the entire year is like, yeah, but, well, I guess, you know, Bledsoe will come back eventually. There is no Bledsoe in the equation. That's the only part of this that does not appear to be a mirror of 2001, where everybody thinks it's not going to happen, and then all of a sudden you're picking confetti out of your hair. you know?
And yeah, and all the ESPN guys used to say back then, they said we were a boring team. And we won three of the last four Super Bowls, and somehow we were like this boring team.
Right.
And I tell you, if you got to pick a guy, you got to go with Peyton Manning. That's what they kept saying.
But you know,
saying that, oh, that used to bug me.
You know, I haven't said that though, Bill. I've been on the Patriots for quite some time this year. I've been on them.
Look at you flipping like a politician. I bet I can go back to 2001 when we both had a hairline. I bet you said some things.
Well, no. I was sitting there on the set of SportsCenter talking about the Michigan man. You know I have that sort of soft spot. You know I've got that right there. But, you know, I was talking.
By the way,
yeah.
Are you bracing yourself for this game this weekend? I mean, I feel like the destruction of Michigan by Ohio State started last weekend against Michigan State. It's just the Big Ten. It's, you know what is annoying me the hell out of Ohio State? They haven't played anybody. It's not their fault the Big Ten stinks, but the only team that they've played is Oregon,
yep.
And they got their butts kicked. Mm-hmm. And they're in the playoff every year. There's no consequences to their actions. It drives me nuts.
So walk me through, because you are a Michigan fan, Bill. I know that.
Yeah, this is completely unbiased opinion here.
Of course. So you're a Michigan fan. Walk me through, where are you watching the game Saturday? What are you going to do? Because I'm basically locking myself in a room on Saturday. What's your way of going about
it? Well, you know what I usually do is I have a bunch of Michigan fans out here, but with, mm-hmm. you know, with all the COVID stuff, I don't know what I'm going to do. I got two kids, you know, four yep. and under, so I try to watch as much of the game as I can before they say to put on, you know, Sophie or, was it Bluey? As long as it isn't that one with that stupid little, I don't know what it is, the dog.
Which dog? It's the puppy dog pals? You got a problem with the puppy dog?
No, I love puppy dog pals.
Okay.
It's like a guy, a high energy guy. And he's saying stuff, and then there's like this dog that's, no matter what he says, he goes, bah, 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 bah. he has to react to everything. It's like, you ever just like nod your head? He comments on everything the guy's saying, and after a while, it just makes my...
Are you referring to Blue's Clues?
Yes. Yes.
I thank God that's been out of my life for a long time, as has Caillou, which is the most miserable cur on the planet that Canada's ever foisted on the rest of the world.
I believe that.
The worst.
I wouldn't want to talk to somebody named Caillou.
Caillou, by the way.
Caillou.
Just avoid him like the plague, sir.
Caillou, that sounds like one of those new names. You know, all of our names are going away. Bill, Rich, Mike, Steve, gone. That's like two generations ago. Like Hunter, I think, is an old name at this point.
Oh, my gosh. All right, so you're going to be locking yourself in a room trying to avoid Blue's Clues.
This is what I'm going to do. I got a great cigar.
Okay.
And I got myself some root beer because I can't drink anymore because, I just did it too much. Mm-hmm. Oh, the last time I ever drank was 3 years ago watching the Michigan-Ohio State game. I remember I was drinking this rye that was amazing, Kentucky Owl. I looked at my buddy and I said, I'm never quitting, because it was that delicious. And then the next day I woke up, I was like, I should take a break from this. So,
usually Michigan-Ohio State rivalry for Michigan fans drives you to drink. It drove you to sobriety, huh? You went the other direction. How about that?
I got a weird thing like that. I just wake up, I look at my actions, and I'm like, you know, maybe I should stop doing that for a minute. Then I tried to go to like New Year's. Then I tried to go to my birthday. Then I tried to go birthday to birthday. And then it was so hard to quit. I was like, I don't want to have to quit again. So I just sort of stopped.
All right.
Well, I don't know. I'll wait till my kids are out of the house, and then I'm coming back strong. Like, remember when Jim Brown came back on the Raiders? That's going to be me drinking.
That's it. Bill Burr here on the Rich Eisen Show. F is for Family, fifth and final season, just in time for Thanksgiving Day on Netflix. Fun stuff, brother.
And then that whole series is wrapped. And I want to thank the great Mike Price from The Simpsons for being the captain of the ship all these years. Everybody at Gaumont, Netflix, all the voiceover actors, all the writers, everybody, editors. I learned so much doing the show, and we all had a blast. And thank you, of course, first and foremost, to the fans who watched it.
People love it, brother. Patty LuPone and Neil Patrick Harris joining the cast this season. Who do they play this year?
I would tell you, but that I can't, like,
Okay.
It's like The Mandalorian, but the cartoon version.
Okay.
I'll tell you what happened.
Well, I was going to ask you about The Mandalorian. You coming back or what? Come on now. Come on.
I'm not allowed to say any of that stuff.
Come on, Bill.
They left us. They left me in the woods on some planet far, far away.
I mean, I know.
I don't know. Can you figure out a way to bring me back?
Of course I can. They could do anything. You know, I would say who they brought back at the end of season one, but it's a spoiler alert. I don't even want to go there. You know what I mean? Like, they can bring anybody back. They can bring
you back.
That's
why I like watching sports. There's no spoiler alert. After you got like 24 hours to watch the game.
Although Larry David was on the show, Bill. Larry David was on this show last month, and he said that he gets upset when somebody sends a text about a game that's happening that day. And he said you should always assume tape, even for live sports. I told him.
I agree with that. I agree with that on the day of, but the next day, that's on you.
What about the
day of? You don't even allude to what's going on. You just say, are you going to watch the game today?
That's it. You got to say
that.
You
don't even say, are you watching this?
Yeah, but if Michigan does well Saturday, of course I'm going to text you. What am I supposed to think? You're on tape? Really? During the Michigan-Ohio State game? Should I assume?
No, the exception is a game that big.
Okay. So then...
You know what I mean? I mean, no, okay. It's like a regular season, especially like the teams where they got like 80 games or 162 games in a regular season.
Mm-hmm.
Those are the ones you kind of tape, and, you know, everybody gets to bed or whatever, and then you're downstairs, you know, in your pajamas, and you put it on, you know?
All right.
And then your buddy texts you just going like, big win for the Sox, huh? Am I right? But the thing, I'll still watch the game. I don't care.
Because you're...
I go, oh, good. I like a game with a happy ending.
You die hard, man. Okay, and then Bill Burr presents Immoral Compass. That is on the Roku channel. A dark psychological thriller comedy series is what it says down here.
Yes, Bill. And it's actually, I'm getting way too much credit on that thing.
Why?
You know, I'm the beautiful face of it. That's why I keep getting the credit there.
Well, you're on The Mandalorian, Bill. You know what I'm saying? Of course you're going to get credit.
Barely.
Come on.
No. Immoral Compass is Tyler Falbo, and that's a name. Remember that name.
Okay.
All of those, you got to watch that show. Those dark little movies that he writes and everything, him and his friends, are absolutely hilarious. The way he shot them is amazing. You got to see Vince Vaughn and Bobby Lee on screen together.
Oh, fantastic.
Marilyn Rice Cub, Al Madrigal. There's so many great people on that show, but the writing and the directing by Tyler Falbo, the creator of the show, I can't even begin to tell you how amazing it was to work with this kid. He's going to do awesome, amazing things in this business.
Okay. And then your arena and amphitheater tour across North America throughout 2022. And people can get tickets.
That's right.
Through where? And you got a website for that sort of thing, Bill? Or what do we got for me on getting tickets?
I think it's, Ticketron, Live Nation, whatever.
Okay,
the hell. I mean, I put them on my website, but then they always push my website down.
Okay.
So I know my role in the business.
Absolutely.
You know what's funny? I'm playing where the Canadians play.
Mm-hmm.
So you had the pre-sale password was Go Bruins.
Come on.
You know what? I should have made it Marchand, because then I probably wouldn't have sold any tickets. I couldn't go that far. So I just had to say Go Bruins.
Oh, that is funny, man. That is funny.
Yeah.
All right. So do we – screw it. Do we see you in Better Call Saul? Do you come back for that too, Bill? Come on.
Listen, you're not allowed to say any of these things, okay? But you're bringing up some of the best shows on TV. So, I mean, the chances are, you know, they got a lot of talent over there.
Okay.
Right? So, you know.
So that's a yes. Okay. Same for The Mandalorian, right? That's a yes too, Bill? Come on. You're fine in the business. They're not going to blackball you because you're saying, yeah, I'm in The Mandalorian.
They absolutely will. You know how disposable I am? Just think of how many good-looking guys with abs did something stupid, and they're not even there anymore. I'm a bald orange man. I have to keep the secret.
What do they got against bald orange men in the business who talk about their projects that are popular?
It's a stereotype, but it's never been brought up. You know, all these fat women can complain, but I can't complain.
All right, Bill Burr, have a great Thanksgiving. I'm going to text you on Saturday.
How feminists act like as a man you can be like completely out of shape and be a movie star. It's like, no, you're either the fat guy or you're in shape. Every agent has always told me that. Like, what are you doing, buddy? You're going to be 300 pounds or you're going to be in shape?
But you're doing great, Bill. You're killing it right now. You're killing it. I mean, you've been in some of the best stuff of all time, and you're going to be in The Mandalorian again, and we'll look forward to seeing your Better Call Saul.
All right. And you're going to be in the huddle for the Los Angeles Rams.
Who knows? They're getting everybody. They're getting everybody, so I look forward to
that. No, that would be the Lakers.
Uh-huh.
The Lakers look like the cast of, what the heck, what are those Stallone movies there?
Oh, the Expendables? Expendables? Is that what you say?
Expendables.
Expendables.
Yeah. They're doing the expendable version of the NBA team.
The Expendables. That's fantastic. We got to make that. Somebody's got to make that that mock movie poster for that. All right, Bill. You take care of yourself. Have a great Thanksgiving.
All right.
Right back.
Hey, Rich, you take care of yourself.
Thank you, Bill. I appreciate that. I care about you. I care about you. Bill Burr, everybody, right here on the Rich Eisen Show. At Bill Burr on Twitter. At Wilfred Burr on Instagram.
Wilfred Burr.
I'm going to text him on Saturday. Assume tape.
Zoom tape.
What's, am I texting you on Saturday?
What's the watching situation for you, Saturday?
Yeah, are you solo?
It's the same thing, man. Every year. I know exactly the room it's going to be in.
It's at 9 a.m. It's early.
Exactly. And this time around, I'm going to have all my children there.
Are you going to start, you know, a little early?
Dude, it's 9 in the morning. Yeah, not even 5. I mean,
it's 5 o'clock somewhere. Five
like
o'clock
London.
Yeah, well, you've been there.
You know, 9 a.m. here.
Bloody
that's
Mary
a, that's
time.
A beautiful thing. Is it's
Bloody
it's,
Mary.
Bloody
yeah.
Mary time. Is it ever too early for a Montepulciano or
no,
whatever
I hate
it is?
Him too. I'm out of.
What is it that you drink?
Oh, mimosa.
The mimosa?
No, the red
Montalcino.
Montalcino.
Brunello di Montalcino.
Is it ever too early for that?
Or the Montepulciano.
Montepulciano.
Montepulciano. It's definitely too early for that.
My boat, I'm going to name
could
that.
Could you imagine my children watching dad drink at 9 in the morning on a Saturday?
Mimosa.
Get out of here. They're down again. You know, like
mimosa.
Mimosa.
Mimosas. That's the way to go.
That's. I mean, by the way, speaking of mimosas, when we see Susie again, because.
Wait, mimosas tomorrow?
Why, Susie coming?
No, I mean, we could just do them.
It's her thing.
It doesn't
it's
feel right without
thing.
Susie,
yeah, we
though.
Wait till you know, Susie.
You'll
get her on
you'll
FaceTime.
See her sooner rather than later because, you know, I'm...
What's she doing tomorrow? Could she just come in and hang out?
I don't know. She's probably about to text you.
I'm sure Susie just come in and hang out.
She texts you more than she texts me during the show. You guys. All right, we'll take a break. We'll be back with more in a Rich Eisen Show in a moment. We'll set up tomorrow's
tell
show.
Tell her to bring the dumb, Chris.
This is the Rich Eisen Show.
844-204-RICH, number to dial. Here on the Rich Eisen Show, we're just talking about the Wander Franco contract being $223 million over the life of the contract. And they're going to, baseball's going to say, we need help in terms of making ends meet. And maybe they'll use the raises saying they can't afford it. They're going to go bankrupt, but they need to do this to keep a player. So we need help. We need luxury taxes. We need caps. We need all sorts of stuff. I shouldn't talk about this stuff because I am not expert on what the actual issues are on the table. I just know the language of management and players associations for lockouts. I was through that war. That's an interesting contract on the eve of what is a collective bargaining agreement deadline.
Also, not with that all notwithstanding, that is an insane bargain.
Well,
for this kid,
if they are getting money through the luxury tax, how do you think Tom Werner and John Henry and Hal Steinbrenner think about that? That if the Rays are using money that the Yankees and Red Sox are putting in the till to pay this kid, and they just won a division.
Well, I would say to counteract that, in about 4 or 5 years, Wander Franco is either going to be playing for the Yankees or the Red Sox.
Okay.
So, I mean.
Fascinating.
If he's a Ray in 12 years, Mike, I'll eat your shorts.
Oh boy. I hope we're on the air long enough for that to happen.
I'll save it.
That's
pair.
The plan. That's the plan.
I'm writing that down, by the way.
Mercedes-Benz Vans wants to ask you the very simple question of, if you have lost touch with your dream, when was the last time you seriously thought about your dream? Because you used to think about it all the time, about what you can be in this life and what you can do in this life and what you can do with your spare time, what you can do maybe to see parts of this country that you don't have the ability to see if you don't have the wheels, or you want to start your new business and you need some premium wheels to do exactly that. That's where Mercedes-Benz says, hey, there's a totally customized Mercedes-Benz Sprinter with your name on it. You could live the total van life in it. And Since it's a Mercedes-Benz van we're talking about, you can expect innovative safety features like crosswind assist and blind spot assist. You can expect amazing performance and reliability with an MBUX voice command system, a 5-star dealer network, and an available gas engine. It runs like a dream. So what do you say? Head to the Mercedes-Benz van dealership near you and get that Sprinter and tell them your dream sent you.
Well, speaking of dreams, Rich, I texted Susie, should we drink mimosas tomorrow on the show? She wrote back, abso-bleepin-lutely.
Okay. She's always up for that. God bless my wife. I love her.
My wife.
I love her so deeply.
So, honestly, can't say it tomorrow, boys.
Very good. All right, I'll bring it in.
I'll bring the OJ.
All right, very good.
Oh, God.
What is that? Del Tufo will bring his gullet. Very good.
It's alcohol.
Hey, how does one ask a head coach in the National Football League whose team just lost at home to a first-time starter out of the University of Utah who did not know he was starting until the morning of the game because he got a text from the starting quarterback who was sick, and your team loses because, in part, your rookie quarterback looked so ineffectual while he was healthy before he got knocked from the game, starting a rumor that you're maybe going to get fired on Thanksgiving Day. How do you ask that coach that question? Well, the Chicago media did just that. That's the rumor going around Chicago, and Matt Nagy was posed that very question today.
Matt, there's a report today that you've been informed this will be your last game as president.
That is not accurate. You know, I have not... I have great communication with ownership, with George and Ted and Ryan, but I have not had any discussions.
Would he say if it was accurate? Like, hey, coach, there's a report that Thursday is your last game and you're going to be fired. Yep, that's exactly what's going to happen. Yeah, I'm getting fired.
As a matter of fact, I'm out.
Yeah, see you guys.
See ya. Yeah, see ya.
Like, you know what I mean? Like, what's he supposed to say?
And did you see what Eli once did on the Manning cast?
Yeah.
Here's the birds. There we go.
You know what I mean? Like, come on. What are we doing?
Well, what a question to ask him. I mean, you've already been told you're fired. And then what? He's coaching this game because that's the way that he gets his buyout? I mean, that's weird.
You'd leave.
That's weird.
But he's getting fired, right?
I mentioned how the circumstances leading up to that soundbite in a segment yesterday about how it's the worst possible scenario for Nagy to come off a bye, which he's never won off of yet. He's now 0-4 out of his 4 years coming off of a bye. And you lose to a team that is starting somebody who's never done it before. And your kid who just began to show signs of life and vigor and development comes off of his bye and is regressing. Albeit against a defense that is able to turn really terrific kids like Herbert into a bear.
But they got to win that game.
At home.
At home.
I get it.
Come on.
Right. And so, but is there a coordinator for him to fire like Joe Judge just did? I don't think so. And it's the GM upstairs too. The Bears might just clean house, just like the Giants. Some of the old school franchises are placed with a conundrum. But at least with the Bears, you've drafted somebody that you think is your guy. The Giants are still, I think, have to come to the realization over the next 5-6 weeks that Daniel Jones is not the guy. They're not going to put a fifth-year option in front of him and say that we're going to pay you that much money and maybe saddle a new coach with that decision that you've already made. This is your guy for the next 2 years? Come on. I think that's kind of crazy talk, don't you?
Yeah.
So, and Jared Goff, it appears, is going to start for the Lions. So Goff versus, he's leaning towards starting Goff with his oblique muscle that knocked him from last week's start against the Browns. Leaning towards starting him against the Bears. Goff versus the Bears. If Jared Goff coming off of a bulky oblique beats you. Like, half a Goff.
Like an off
beats you after the kid Tyler Huntley beats you in 5 days. Mooch will tell you, you can get fired in Detroit on Thanksgiving. That's what brought Mooch into my life. A miserable day for him and his family brought me nothing but happiness.
I would say we were all better for it. I know he wasn't.
I know that.
Although those checks cleared for a while.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. So that's the setup, man. Oof. What a fun show today with Bill Burr. Thank you to Ron Rivera. How generous to take that check that he received from his
awesome. Yeah.
team, from his players in his front office, putting a collection together in honor of his one-year anniversary of ringing the bell from his treatment of cancer, and saying, we'll donate it to Run Rich Run. Like I said, I've never had a penny in the till before the season even starts. So that was so nice of him. And I want to thank Joel Klatt, and I want to thank Debo Samuel for joining the program here today. On tomorrow's show, we've already got teed up. Who do we have teed up for tomorrow's show? I tried my best to find it on my phone. Here we go. Michael Vick. Oh, boy.
J.K. Simmons.
J.K. Simmons.
Yeah.
Diehard. He's from Michigan. He's a diehard Ohio State fan.
Yeah, I don't know how that works. I don't get that.
You know, he's in a new film called National Champions about a couple of players prior to a big national championship game. Star players say that they're not going to compete unless student athletes are fairly compensated.
Ooh,
there you go.
He plays the coach. I cannot wait to ask him why J.K. Simmons insisted that the coach that he plays wears khakis. That's going to be a great question. Stay tuned for that. Michael Vick, Dan Shaughnessy, and also you as we take you to your Thanksgiving weekend. That's right here on the Rich Eisen Show on Wednesday. But for those sitting right there on Peacock and Sirius XM, we'll take you to Brother from Another at the top of the hour.